1 Corinthians chapter 3. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you for this place to meet, this opportunity to meet, the reason we have to meet, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all of your grace to us and for giving us a heart to see it, to understand it, to appreciate it, to bask in the glory of it. And Father, we pray that you would strengthen, edify, build us up throughout this study, throughout the service today, and everywhere, Father, that your word is being opened this morning. We pray, Father, for the hearts and minds of every saint and of every would-be saint, Father, this morning that's going to hear your word. We pray that it would not return to you void, but it would accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. And we thank and praise you for all these things. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. Let's read the first 7 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. All right, so we've moved through chapter 2 now in our study of 1 Corinthians, and Paul at the end of chapter 2, we saw last time that Paul talks about two different men. In verse 14 of chapter 2, he says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So we talked last time about that natural man, and we saw that is a reference to the way that you and I are born into this world of Adam, natural men, and also that idea of that earthy nature. Solomon says that God has put the world in man's heart, that he wouldn't know what God does from the beginning to the end. So there's that sinful ness issue of the natural man, and then there's that earthy issue. And so there's the natural man there, and then in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So there's the natural man there, and there's the spiritual man. And that's those two men, either in Adam or in Christ, the way we're born into this world, and the way we are created anew, made new creatures in Christ Jesus when we trust in his shed blood as the payment for our sins, and we get saved, we become new creatures, what Paul calls a spiritual man, indwelt now by the Spirit of God. And all throughout this passage, Paul has been talking about that Spirit that we received rather than the spirit of the world that we were born with and that we got from the culture around us and so forth, but that spirit that we received from God. So that's that spiritual man. That's what guides him. Now, as we come into chapter 3, there's another man, a third man, that Paul is going to deal with here. And that's these Corinthian believers, because they're not the natural man, they're saved people. And yet they're not behaving like the spiritual man either. So what do you call that? Well, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So now we've got three guys here. We've got the natural man, we've got the spiritual man, and we've got the carnal man. And the carnal man is different than the natural man. The carnal man is, in this context, is a saved person who's not acting like, who's acting like the natural man. So Paul doesn't call him the natural man, he calls him carnal, fleshly. And he says in verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal." What does that mean? "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" See, that's carnal. You're walking like that natural man. You're not him, but you walk like him. So that's the kind of person that Paul is dealing with here. Now, of course, there are people in this Corinthian assembly who are spiritual people. But Paul is talking to the kind of overriding spirit that is here in this church at Corinth, and to the primary kind of mindset. These Corinthians, we've already seen, are broken up into different divisions. One saying, I'm of Apollos, and one says, I'm of Paul, and one says, I'm of Peter, and the other group says, I'm of Christ. And they're all wrong. They're all engaged in what Paul calls here this envy and strife in the middle of verse 3 and division. Excuse me, I still got some of this cold. Bear with me. And so Paul, he calls that carnal. "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So now we get some more of an idea of what this carnal person is. When you're a natural man, before you get saved, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We've seen that. You don't have any other place to walk. You walk like a natural man. When you get saved, you become the spiritual man. It's not a progressive thing. You're the natural man one moment, you're the spiritual man the next moment. Now, of course, your life needs to go through a process to realize who you have become and to start to look like and act like and think like and talk like who you became the moment you got saved. So Paul says that carnal man is a saved person who's a babe, who's newly saved, haven't learned anything yet about how to live this Christian life. All they know is how to live according to the world. Now, that's fine for a babe in Christ, for someone who's newly saved. That is not fine. The longer you are the spiritual man, the longer that is not fine. The longer it is not okay for you to be the carnal man. These Corinthian believers ought to be at a level of maturity here that they're not attaining to, they're not pressing toward, they're not reaching for. They've come to a place where they think that they're where they need to be. And they're not where they need to be. They're carnal and they're walking as men. So Paul says in verse 2, "I've fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, and neither yet now are ye able." So Paul says, you remember back in chapter 2, Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So Paul says, I couldn't, and he goes on through the rest of chapter 2 that we've been studying, telling them, I've got so much more to give you, but I can't do it because you all are, you haven't come to a place where you can bear it yet. He says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to bear it. It's the same. Come over to Hebrews in chapter 5. We all know this passage. Book of Hebrews. This is the same issue that was going on with these Hebrew believers. And again, this isn't true of every believer in the congregation. Everyone is at different places. And there are people like those of the house of Chloe that we've already seen who are the ones who reported to Paul and said, look, you gotta come and see what's going on here at Corinth and or write to them or something, straighten these people out. So you got some indication that you've got that house of Chloe that's got some mature believers who are doing the right thing and want to see the right thing done in their assembly. But there's a spirit. Every assembly kind of has its own spirit. You understand what I'm talking about? Not spirit like, you know. There's a mind. Every assembly has its own kind of spirit. And these Corinthians, the spirit of these Corinthians is not that of pressing toward the mark and not that of maturity and not that of if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you know, forgive your brother. And don't be squawking and complaining and evil speaking and clamor and all of those things. See, that's the kind of spirit that spreads in an assembly and kind of becomes the spirit of that assembly. If the overriding heart of an assembly is that of grace and of love, then that is contagious. And that becomes the spirit of the assembly. And we see churches, all of these churches that Paul writes to, kind of each one has its own character. You can just get a feel for that, what that church is like by the way Paul writes to them. Personally, I think Paul would write well of this assembly. And I'm praising God to be a part of it. But we're not all at the same place. Right? Hebrews chapter 5, talking about Melchizedek here in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So this is exactly the kind of thing that Paul's talking about there in our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you see here again, see, a babe in Christ is never going to be rebuked for being a babe in Christ. You see the issue here, the time when you ought to be teachers, you've become such as have need that to be taught again. It's not just the need to be taught, we all have the need to be taught. The need to be taught again. You got this stuff already. You know, Paul tells the Ephesians, he says, you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him and been taught by him. See, we've already got this foundational stuff. These Hebrews do, those Corinthians do. And it's time for them to start using that information and the grace that comes from that information, working by the Spirit of God in them, to begin to minister. And they're still laying on their back like a turtle in the crib, needing to have a bottle shoved in their mouth. And it's the same situation here. You need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And there's the issue. Unskillful in the word of righteousness. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we're expected to use this information that we get. It's not just to give us something cool to know, and it's not just to be able to highlight things in our Bible and to make notes and all of that, kind of do all of that. But that's not the reason we're learning this stuff. It's to use the information to the glory of God. And it's by reason of use that we have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. It's not just by filling our heads with information. That's not how the exercise comes. The information is there to equip you to do the exercise. And then it's by the exercise of that information, by the use of it, that we learn to discern between good and evil, that we learn how to grow in the Word of God, and that we grow in our lives and grow in grace. It's by reason of using this information that God has given us back in our passage. So this idea that I'm saved, so I'm set. You're going to stay a baby all your life until the rapture, until you die, one way or the other. And the Lord here through the Apostle Paul says, that is not the way that you want to be. That is not the way you want to go. It just is not. There is growth to be had. There's a mark to be pressed toward. And there is glory that God wants to manifest in your life that He can't do if you won't grow. So, I, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I've fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now, you haven't been able to bear it up until now, Paul says to these Corinthians, and you're still not able to bear it, and you see why in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. Why? Because they don't know a lot? No. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now look, this is important. Why does Paul say that he can't feed these people good, solid, strong meat? Why does he have to feed them with milk like babies? Is it because they don't understand the basic information? No, it's because they're not using it. That's why I say to you, it's by reason of use. Just because you might know the book of Romans backwards and forwards, but if it's not working in your life, if it's not creating that use of the doctrine in your life, you're not ready for higher truths. What you're going to end up with is you're going to end up with a building that's top heavy, and it's going to crumble. It's going to fall. It's not just the information. It's the practice of the information that makes you ready for the next piece of information. So Paul's looking at these Corinthians. He's not looking at what they know. He's looking at their behavior. And he's saying, I'm not going to tell these guys about the mystery. I'm not going to give them this wisdom of God that I have for them, because they don't have the first stuff down yet. They may know it, but they're not using it. So that's the issue here. The issue is their behavior. I've fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now that, able to bear it. Come back with me to the Gospel of John. That's the same thing that Hebrews just said. We're going to be in John chapter 16. The Bible says that throughout. And what you find is, when there's some information that God has that the people of God are not able to bear, that is generally an issue of progressive revelation. It is something that God has given his people the information that he's given them. And until he sees that they have that they're doing with that what they need to be doing with that, he doesn't give them the next piece because they're not able to bear it. Now you know what that means? You know what it is to bear something, to carry it? That means that this information, this doctrine, this truth of God, this wisdom of God, it's got some weight. It's got some weight to it. And there is a responsibility that comes with knowing this information. See, that's why Paul is careful not to try and, you know, cram steak down a baby's mouth. They can't bear it. Their system, by reason of use, it hasn't acclimated to that yet. You got a similar situation here in John chapter 16. Verse 4, the Lord says, but these things, now this is the night before the crucifixion, these things have I told you, he's telling you about the persecutions that are coming to these apostles, he says, these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you, but now I go my way, to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. So the Lord says here, he says, I'm telling you this, and we've looked at this passage before in a dispensational context. The Lord does what God does here with his word. He says, I told you some things at the beginning. I didn't tell you everything at the beginning because it wasn't time for it yet. Now I'm giving you this information because it's time for you to get it. And then he says in verse 12, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So, there again, I gave you some information before. I gave you what it was time to give you. Now I'm giving you some more because it's time for you to get this. I've got more for you. I got more things to say, but you're not able to bear them now. You're not ready for them yet. When the Spirit comes, then you'll be ready, and he will give you that progressive revelation, that additional information in due time. So now what you've got here in Corinth is you've got a situation where the due time has come for this information to be given, for God's people to receive this information, and his people aren't ready for it yet. That's not a good situation. The time has come. They ought to be able to bear it, and they can't. So now you've got this revelation. The people of God ought to be waiting, hungry. Lord, what's the next thing? Give me that next truth. Instead, now, the information of God is piling up here, and they can't receive it. He can't give it to them. Because, like he tells the Hebrews, your ears are dull of hearing. You stopped up your ears. Can't get anything else in there. You're not able to bear it yet. And what a shame for the blessing of God to be ready and eager to flow like that. And his people are stopped up. Don't be stopped up. 1 Corinthians 3:3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So there's envy and strife and divisions in this assembly. So that's the issue. Now look, you can have envy and strife and division. Here, come over to Philippians. And be working in the ministry. And be teachers. And all of those things. And still have this envy and strife and division going on. Now that's probably a worst case scenario. When the babes are behind the pulpits. And you see that going on too. This ought not be. Now look. I'm not saying that, you know, if you don't know everything, don't be in the ministry. Nobody knows everything. And nobody is at a place where, you know, where they've arrived. I'm saying that, here, look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul's inspiring people to get out there and be in the ministry and start opening their mouth. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Some also of goodwill. So Paul says, there's some people who are preaching Christ. And they're doing it with envy and strife in their hearts. And they're sowing divisions. And they're saying that, look, this is the way we need to fight for the truth. Well, yeah, we need to fight for the truth, but how do we do that? By insulting one another? Speaking evil of one another? Clamor? All of that stuff, Paul says, put that stuff away. Put off that old man. Put off that natural man. Stop walking as men. Don't get up and say, this is how the Lord would have it. We need to put this guy down. He's out there teaching something that isn't true. Look, if we're going to wait for every single person out there to agree with me before I stop having strife and division with them, who's in the wrong here? Brethren, these things ought not to be. They ought not to be. We need to strive. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4, just a page or two back. That's baby stuff, guys. It's baby stuff. It needs to stop. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 3, endeavoring, we're walking worthy in verse 1. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit based on those things. Other things we can talk about and we can argue about. I'm saying this not because I'm particularly mad today, because there are preachers out there whose tongue is like the tongue of asps, and they just spend their time spitting poison. I'm saying it to you because we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and that's what's happening here in this assembly. They're doing this in the name of Christ, or in the name of Paul, or in the name of Apollos, or in the name of Cephas, or whatever name they're doing it in. They're doing it as a part of their service, feeling like they're glorifying God. Paul says you're carnal and you're walking like men. Go on further in this passage. The ascension and the giving of the gifts is there in verses 8, 9, and 10. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till when? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's that mature man. How do you know that? Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So you see, we talk all the time about how bad doctrine will corrupt your life. But it's the other way around, too. You got this strife and envy and division. That leads to bad doctrine. And the issue here is the same in Ephesians as it is in Corinth. Growing up out of childhood, not being children anymore. And what does that look like? We come to the unity of the faith. Again, the unity of the faith doesn't mean everybody agrees with me. That's not what that means. We come to the unity of the faith. Does that mean we don't fight and stand up for the truth? No, of course we do. But you understand how we fight, right? Like the world? With venom, vitriol, envy, and strife? That's not how we fight. We fight with grace. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not from that natural man. They're spiritual. You fight with the power of God, not with your own ability to put somebody down. Back in our passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I know, I'm not yelling at nobody here. We're all lovely, wonderful people here. Of course. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So there's envying and strife. People at Philippi are preaching Christ with envy and strife. Paul goes on in that passage and he says, you know what, one way or another Christ is being preached and I therein rejoice, and yea, I will rejoice. I'm rejoicing because Christ is being preached. But the folks who are preaching him out of envy and strife, division, what's that doing for them? It's causing Paul to rejoice, I guess. But you know what caused him to rejoice more? The ones that were doing it out of goodwill. Like you ought to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You're carnal and you walk as men. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos but ministers, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So one is saying, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. And that's where that envy and strife and division is coming from. We've seen this in this epistle already, that these Corinthians are exalting men, and they're looking at men, and they're saying, I side with this one. No, I side with that one. And they're siding with somebody against the other. And Paul says, That carnality ought not be. Come over to the book of James here. Let's get outside of even past Hebrews. Oh boy, we're really shooting now. James chapter 3. It's okay when you go to Hebrews. That's kind of close to Paul. When you start getting past Hebrews, you're getting in dangerous territory now. James chapter 3, verse 13. James says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Where's that spiritual guy? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. That's an interesting phrase. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. See, that's that guy who's saying, yeah, I'm vitriolic. You might not use that word. Yeah, I'm strong against people who teach falsehood. I ought to be. James says, look, don't lie against the truth and don't glory in your own strife and division. We do preach against lies and against deception. But there's a difference. There's a difference between fighting with spiritual weaponry and fighting with carnal weapons. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, be not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Well, that sounds an awful lot like what Paul's been talking about, doesn't it? That wisdom that comes from above, that spirit that we've received, as opposed to that spirit that we were born with, and that pervades the world out there. You see what he calls it? Earthly, sensual, devilish. It comes from the world, from the flesh, and from the devil. That's where that wisdom comes from. And James says, don't take that and try and glory in that and make that the truth. You're preaching the truth out of strife and envy. According to this passage, who's become the liar? See, the words coming out of my mouth are true. But the spirit coming out of my mouth make me a liar. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So the wisdom of God, does that mean that we just allow anything? Let's just all be ecumenical and don't worry about the doctrine. It causes too many divisions. Let's just let everybody believe whatever they want to believe. No, the wisdom of God is first pure. First pure. Then you got that? You got the purity of the doctrine? Good. Then let's talk about peaceable, easy to be entreated, merciful, gracious. It's also those things. So, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. People see that, and they go, well, see here, now you and I, we get accused of this. Isn't that what you all say? I'm of Paul. We're of Paul. You all are being like these Corinthians here. No. You see what Paul, here, you see what Paul says in verse 5, that first line, who then is Paul? Let's talk about that. We don't need to go far. Come back to Romans in chapter 11. Let's talk about who is Paul. People say, see, you ought not be saying I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos and I'm of Cephas. We all should be saying I'm of Christ. No, Paul, to those Corinthians, he says, some of you are saying I'm of Paul and some I'm of Apollos and some I'm of Cephas and some I'm of Christ. And he rebukes them all. They're all wrong. And the ones who were of Christ were the worst of the bunch. We've talked about that already. These people are looking at the man. And they see to see the Apostle Paul as just any old prophet or teacher is bad enough. To see the Lord Jesus Christ that way is blasphemy. That's what these people are doing. See, the issue is not the person. The issue is, what is God saying to you? And where is that information that allows us to truly be of Christ? That's what Christian means. We're all of Christ. We understand that. These people had a different definition. And that's what Paul's talking about here. So who is Paul? Romans chapter 11, verse 13. We all know and love the verse. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, therefore I am somebody. Is that what your Bible says? I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, therefore I magnify my office. That's what we do. We magnify the office of the Apostle Paul, because it is through that office, it's exactly what he's telling these Corinthians. I'm a minister. That's all I am. I'm just a minister. Don't be thinking of men above that which is written. So, back in our passage, when he says, every one of you saith, one says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So the issue here is not who's the best teacher. The issue is not whose personality do I like better. It's not whose philosophy do I like better, or whose way of presenting. The point is that it's God who gave, and when he says that even as the Lord hath given to every man, he's talking about himself and Apollos. What did we just read in Ephesians? He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The Lord gave Apollos and Paul to every man, to you and to me. Paul's going to tell these Corinthians in a little while, all things are yours, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, the world. It's all given to you. That's what he's saying here. Why? For their edification. What did we just read in Ephesians? For the edification of the saints. For the building up of the body. So that we can all come to the unity of the Spirit. And be no more children. Tossed to and fro. So, he says, who am I and who is Apollos? But we're just ministers by whom you believed. And that is important, because it's not in whom you believed. It's by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Don't believe in Paul. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by the information that he's given to you through the Apostle Paul. I've planted. Verse 6, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See? You know, if you're that spiritual guy that Paul's been talking about, you can learn and you can grow and you can be blessed and you can be edified by just about any preacher. There's always going to, no matter how wacky the guy is, there's going to be some grain of truth in there somewhere that you can get. Now, I'm not telling you to listen to wacky people. I'm telling you that if you need to pick and choose between who feeds you and who doesn't, is the issue the flow, or is the issue the receiver being stopped up again? Just food for thought. I'm Paul, this is Apollos, here we are, we're both ministers. It's God that gives the increase. So why do you get more out of one than another? It's God that gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So who is anything? God is. Nobody else is anything. We're here to serve the Lord. All of us, the body, universal, us here in this assembly, you and me, as we live, minister here, and live our lives in our families, in our workplaces, with our neighbors, we're here to serve the Lord. So you can do that. You can plant, and you can water, and you can sow, and you can minister without strife and envy and division. Now, you know, if you're walking in grace and somebody comes up and punches you in the nose, well, if you didn't see it coming, I guess there's not too much you could do about that. But Paul says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. On your part, no envy and strife. We're all on the same team. We'll call it there and move on. We got through 7 verses today. From there next week. Do you have a question or a comment, Yabba?
I have 2 quick comments. One is that us coming from a Catholic background and then we went to Baptist Church, Methodist, on and on. But we have kind of gradually built on everything that we've learned. We did learn some good things, even in the Catholic Church, and then on and on and on. We probably wouldn't have been ready for this message 30 years ago at that time.
I was saved in a Baptist church, so, you know, glory to God.
And the other thing is, in the Old Testament, and I think it was the Ammonites, but I'm not sure, that had destroyed Israel at one time, and God told them to destroy them, but don't take glory, don't take joy in it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's some things you have to be done away with, but you don't glory in the defeat of anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that with David a lot. He mourns over the death of his enemies. Yeah. All right. Thanks, y'all.